All right, well, welcome everyone, wherever you're watching, listening around the world. We're thankful that you are here, and we would always love to invite you to come hang out with us. You heard Matt share something awesome in the welcome. You heard awesome worship, but also, for some reason, we have zero-calorie biscuits and whatnot, so I just want to let you know, if you're trying to get beach bod ready, there's no better place to be than at the Vine on a Sunday. So come hang out with us. Your beach bod can be dad bod slash miracle bod. Whatever that looks like, just don't be Ichabod. If you know, you know. Anyway, wherever you are, we're thankful you are here as we're kicking off our brand new series called The Wonderful Cross. And what we're doing is, this is our Easter series. We're going to be preparing for this. I guess I'll just speak to that side of it. Okay. Wherever you are around the world, we're thankful you are here. These are all of our virtual seats over on this side. We're going to be going through this series called The Wonderful Cross. And what The Wonderful Cross is about is, honestly, just putting the cards on the table, and we've shared this, we've kind of been building up these past few weeks, is we're going to celebrate the resurrection in just a few weeks. Like, we're going to celebrate the empty tomb. We love that. Here's the thing, though. We all love that, but you got to go through the cross to get there. And going through the cross is not clean, it's messy, it's ugly, it carries weight, and the thing that's great about it is Jesus bore it for us. So we don't have to bear it, but we are still called to do what Jesus is going to talk about today. We're still called to pick up our cross. But the thing is, the weight of the cross has already been bore by him. So how great is it that even though we pick up our cross to follow him, he's already done the work. That's what we can rest in today. That's why we can sing "Great is Your Faithfulness." That's why we can go and give him the praise and the glory. So today, how we're going to start this off, the wonderful cross, is the way of the cross. The way of the cross. And I shared this before. I'm hard-headed. Go figure. I'm hard-headed. And so the thing is, how many folks like to... Now it's normal. Okay, so now it's normal. So what I long for in the generation growing up is, you don't know what it's like. Now, and I'm old, so I'm older, and there's a generation before me that's going to say, well, you don't know what it's like, and they're right. So you don't know what it's like to print out a MapQuest piece of paper and lose it in the car to try to figure out where you're going. Like, you couldn't have navigation on your phone. Like, I remember when I bought a Garmin, and that was it. Like, I remember I had a Garmin, and yes. Now, those who go before me would say, you don't know what it's like to be like Clark Griswold, and it spread across the dash trying to find where you need to go. This is where I'm going with this when it comes to the way of the cross. So many times in life, and we are taught, it's kind of the American dream, and it's kind of who we are, it's what we believe, but we are taught to chart our own path. Make your own way. Go your own way. But the thing is, as Robert Frost shares it, and Jesus literally says it, is we are called to go the path less traveled. We aren't called to chart our path in the path less traveled. The reason it's less traveled is, believe it or not, Jesus has already made the way for us through it. And the way goes through the cross. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today. So if you've got your Bible, familiar story, where we're going to be picking up Matthew 16. Is where we're going to be. If you got your Bible, Matthew 16, verse 21 is where we're going to start. If you don't have a Bible, we have them free for the asking. Over in our garden area, we'd love to get one in your hands. Our Vine production team's incredible. They make sure it's on the screen wherever you're watching around the world or listening. But also, shameless plug, say it every week, but it's the truth. We're trying to build it out to make it better. So the more folks we have on it, the better we can make it. And it's our free Vine Church app. Go to thevine.tv/app. It'll ask for your telephone number, the last four of your social, your grandmother's maiden name, and your annual household income. And if you get approved, you'll get the... Oh, no. We prefer credit scores of 700 or above. We kind of real selective. No, really, you don't. It is going to ask your phone number, though. It's going to send you an app link. And on that app link, it'll download there. You can look on our Vine Church app. It has notes on the bottom tab, so you can take your own sermon notes, save it in the app, email it. It's really cool. I'm thankful for it. We're trying to make it better. So download that app today, and you can follow along with us. And Matthew 16, verse 21 is where we're going to start. Now, if you grew up in church, you know where we are right now. You know where we are in Matthew, okay? You've heard this story. So Jesus has just asked the quintessential question that all of us will answer. I know I'm playing with my mic a lot. Sorry. The quintessential question that all of us will answer in eternity. He looks at the disciples and he says, who do you say I am? The disciples look at him, and some people say you're Elijah. Some people say you're John the Baptist. Some people say you're a prophet. But Jesus said, but you, who do you say I am? And Peter has this great, profound statement. He said, you are the Son of the living God. You are the Son of God. You are the Messiah. Like, you are the one that is to come. Like, you are who everyone is searching for. And Jesus says, and you are Peter. And upon this rock, I will build my church. Right? Like, he has this great statement, like this statement of faith. And Peter leads in the early church. And he is one of the early apostles. And he leads in the early church. And as he leads in the early church, and he goes and Jesus literally builds his church through him. We get to have that. We see this. But we're going to pick up the story where Peter does what we all do when it comes to the way of the cross. Kind of changes his tune a little bit. So, Matthew 16, verse 21 through 23. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things. How many folks here like suffering? Oh, they have those, we have to pray about that. There's some addictions that are with that. We'll open that door later. But suffering. We don't like suffering, but Jesus says to follow him, we're going to go through that. So he said, suffering many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, that he must be killed and on the third day raised to life. So Peter's like, you're the Son of the living God, the Messiah. Peter's in his brain. He's like, man, we're going to be rock stars. This is it. Like, Jesus superstar. Like, you know, it's just everywhere. They're rocking and rolling. They're in Jerusalem. They're going back and forth. This is going to be great. We're going to overthrow Rome. David's going to be restored. And when Jesus is there, he's going to remember me. And it's going to be like the Knights of the Round Table. And I'm just going to be like, boom, ready to go. I got my sword in there. King Arthur's ready. Let's go. And Jesus says, whoa, listen. Something different when it comes to following me. There's more than the eye can see because, you see, I'm going to die and rise again on the third day. Now, we give the disciples a bad rap. If I told you today, listen, guys, next Thursday, I'm going to be tried and arrested. Things are going to be real crazy. I'm going to go before the magistrate. They're going to say, do we want to free this person or not? And they're going to put me on a cross, and I'm going to rise again on the third day. How would you think? What would you think of me? There was something in his coffee this morning. I don't know what happened, right? Like, there was something going on, right? So we give the disciples a bad rap when Jesus says these things because it seems so unbelievable. Can't wait to unpack the real thing when it comes Easter Sunday and we walk through that. It's so unbelievable that somebody says they would die and rise again. Like, are you kidding me? So it just kind of brushes by. But Jesus says, hey, this is what's going to happen. He reminds them of this after Easter Sunday. If you ever want to do some homework, read Psalm 41. It's called The Righteous Sufferer. That's who Jesus is. So, verse 22 and 23. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Never, Lord, he said. This shall never happen to you. Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. Pretty sure my mom said that to me a lot of times. But get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. So when we're talking about the way of the cross and we're going through this and we're walking through this, it can be kind of overwhelming. Like, Peter gets a bad rap. I'm hard-headed like Peter, so I kind of relate with him a lot when it comes to these things. But Jesus literally says, hey, dude, you're awesome. You're like a great disciple. I'm going to build my church on you. In the next sentence, get behind me, Satan. Like, it's just like, are you, Jesus, did you take your medicine this morning? Like, what's going on? I don't understand. Like, but see, there's something greater than what the eye can see. Jesus is saying, hey, there's something more to this world than our eyes can see. And Peter was missing it. He had it for a moment, and then he let it go because he was trying to pay attention to his concerns. And so wherever we are right now, the first thing I want to share with you when it comes to the way of the cross is we have to decide, what are we going to listen to? And this isn't groundbreaking. This is normal. You've heard this before, but I believe the Holy Spirit's going to speak through it. And we can either listen to the voice of God or the voice of man. It's the voice of God or the voice of man. See, Peter was listening to the voice of God when he said, hey, you are the Messiah. Jesus even tells him, hey, this isn't from your brain. This isn't something you schemed up. It is the Holy Spirit inside of you. So, for you, this is of God. And then the next sentence, Peter says, hey, Jesus, you can't be suffering because, you know, like, you're my meal ticket. You're my free, like, I saw what you did with the 5 loaves and 2 fish kind of thing. Like, you're my meal ticket, so you can't be going to the cross and dying. It's not going to happen. There's no way. So every moment of every day, we've got to decide whether we're going to listen to the voice of God or the voice of man. See, in this, what Jesus is saying, when he looks at Peter and says, "Get behind me, Satan," he's remembering where he was on those 40 days and 40 nights in the desert, and Satan tempted him. Remember, Satan goes and he tells him that he will give him all the kingdoms of the world if he'll worship him, that he questions whether Jesus really is the Son of God. And here's the difference between the voice of God and the voice of man and what it was boiling down to and why Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan." Satan was literally saying, "Jesus, you can have a kingdom. I know you think you're building the kingdom of God, but you can have a kingdom and not suffer. So which one are you going to choose? The kingdom that doesn't involve suffering, or the kingdom that is to come that will require you to suffer?" See, Peter was listening to the voice of man. He was saying, "Jesus, you don't need to suffer to have a kingdom. You already got one. Did you see? They're going to be throwing, like at Palm Sunday," that Peter's going back to this, and he was just like, "I told that Jesus," like I could see him right now, "I told that Jesus he doesn't need to die and rise again. Look at all these people. He's got his own kingdom. They're throwing down palm branches. They're excited. They're screaming Hosanna. He's got it all figured out." And then all of a sudden, the end of that week, Peter's denying who Jesus is. He's stuck between the voice of God and the voice of man. See, it's really hard to see which one we're following because the voice of man sounds so soothing. The voice of man says, "There's a shortcut. There's an easy way." I don't know about you, but shortcuts sometimes are awesome, aren't they? But as I always heard growing up, and you're going to think a lot of your pastor, don't watch this, it's a bad movie, it's called Road Trip, don't watch it. But anyway, as they shared in that, when it comes to that is this. There's a reason it's called a shortcut. Otherwise, it'd be called the way. The shortcut is never the way. Shortcut is never the way. The voice of man will always tell you to take the shortcut, but it's not the way. The shortcut says, hey, when it comes to life, I can shortchange how I deal with relationships and the way of the world works, how I deal with money and the way of the world works, how I deal with my job when it comes to my character, when it comes to my what I'm called to do and work unto man as opposed to under the Lord. I can step over people to climb up the corporate ladder because I need to get to the top. My ascension to the top is the most important, because when I'm at the top, then I can finally be a good person. That's what the voice of man will tell you. So you take the shortcut route. But the voice of God will say that's not the way. It's just a shortcut, and it's only dealing with the temporary. So when it comes to the voice of man, which is where Peter was, we think the easy way is that we want a life of comfort. And following God many times is what we think that is. When it comes to following Jesus, that is supposed to be for our comfortability, because we think, well, even though my eternity is secure, so everything should happen. It should rain down blessing on me. Now, listen, following God, following Jesus, yes, blessings do rain down. I'm not discrediting that, because it does happen. He is faithful. But if you're only following him for that, what happens when you go through that trial? You ain't going to follow him. What happens when they turn the heat up in that fire 7 times? You ain't going to walk in there. But when you know your eternity is secure, you can walk in there with confidence, knowing that it is going to be some suffering. There is going to be some trial. And that's what Jesus is preparing us for. He's saying, hey, literally, when it comes to the voice of God or the voice of man, it's this. Would you rather live a life of comfort now and suffer for eternity, separated from him in misery and hell, knowing that, hey, you try to fulfill your purpose and your calling in life now, thinking that it could be found in this world, in a bank account, in a house address, in a car, in a relationship, in a degree on a wall? This 80 years that is but a breath, would you rather have some suffering in this 80 years that is but a breath and miss out on the 80 million plus in eternity and suffer for eternity? Or would you rather walk through some suffering in this 80 years but is a debt that is but a breath and have the next 80 million living in peace and in life, knowing that the suffering's been done for you? That's what Jesus is laying before us. So the voice of God says, hey, there's going to be some suffering. But think of anything you've wanted in life. It was never easy. The way, this is what I love. Anybody who takes shortcuts, it gets found out. It gets found out. Hey, like, I was part of, I remember Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire baseball. We got baseball folks going crazy. Roger Clemens, like, how in the world does he pitch this old? Oh, they're all taking steroids. Oh, well, there we go. Well, I guess that was, see, it gets found out. They took a shortcut. That's why when the conversation happens, when it comes to the home run king, it's always going to be Hank Aaron. He didn't take a shortcut. He was hitting him and Babe Ruth both. When you come to the seasons, like, these two guys are like the home run kings. It's not Barry Bonds. It's not Sammy Sosa. It's not Mark McGwire, because they took a shortcut. And in the moment, the shortcut was like, we're giving the fans what they want. Like, it's a live ball era. We're excited. We're doing what we need to do. But in the end, man, they missed out. That's what Jesus is saying. Follow the voice of God. And so that's why when you do that, though, here's where it has to be a cross. The Christian life is confession and repentance. And the hardest thing you're going to do following Jesus is confess and repent. This is why. It's brokenness, it's ugliness, it's nasty, and it gets it all in the open. But Jesus says you have to do that to have life, because he hung naked on a cross for us, murdered on a cross, out in the open, falsely accused, and still went there for us, gave up his spirit, after living that life we couldn't live, died paying that penalty for our sins, goes to an empty tomb, told us all the way through, like he told the disciples, hey, I'm going to rise again. It's going to happen. I don't know why you're expecting it. They can seal that tomb all day long. I'm going to walk out of it. It ain't going to make a lick of difference. Still rose again so that we can experience life now. So the question is, will we follow the voice of man or the voice of God? Because even following him, we want to fall into the voice of man. Here's how I know. Even me, I will tell you. Why is it this hard, God? I just want butts in seats to hear your glory be revealed. Why is it this hard? It shouldn't be this hard, Lord. And he says, Tyler, there's more than your eyes can see, son. I'm preparing you for that to happen. But you want it to happen at times so bad. Think about this. That relationship, marriage, that finance. Why is it so hard? Why is it so hard to get there? But then when you get there, you realize why the struggle happened. You realize why you went through the season. Because God is faithful. So here's what Jesus says in verse 24 through 28. Then Jesus says to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. That's following the voice of God, because there's a confession and repentance. Jesus is saying, hey, to follow me, there is a cost. It's free to get the free gift of salvation. That doesn't cost you a thing. You can't work your way to it. You can't earn it. But when you do it, how you know a Christian is a Christian, and Jesus says, he's about to tell us here, is the life that follows. Not a one-time moment in time. Yes, okay, you confess Jesus and surrender. You confess of your sins, repent of your sins, confess Jesus as Lord of your life. Yes, you aren't going to hell. Awesome. How did your life follow it? Because if nothing followed it, he might as well have took you to heaven right then, because there was no point in you being here. But he loves us enough that he doesn't do that then, so that we could reveal his glory to others, so that we could reveal him to others. So Jesus says, hey, every day you got to die to yourself. You got to die to the voice of man. You got to die to what you want to do. You got to die to that and trust me. So here's what I would say with that. I never get prayer requests for somebody who has a job offer that's going to pay three times more and work half the hours. I have yet to get that request. If that's you today and you're going to send that in, you're going to be my first one. I've yet to have it. You know when I get the prayer request? When the job's gone. Which one are we closer to Jesus in? Let me ask you something. Do we think about taking that job that pays three times more with half the work? Man, come on, sign me up. How many times I got to sign? Where you at? We don't even pray about it. That's what Jesus is saying. Why? See, our human nature is that. We don't even pray about those things because we're following the voice of man. We think about the shortcut. We think about it's easy. We think about I deserve this. And Jesus says, hey, you got to die to yourself. You pray just as hard to me about that job offer that, yes, he may be giving you. Yes, I'm not telling you he isn't. He may be giving you. You pray just as hard as that as you did when you lost the other job. You seek me. It's not about you. You die to yourself daily. And if you want to see that, that's the hardest thing to do, isn't it?
It's the hardest thing to do. We die to self. So he says, whoever wants to follow me has to take up their cross and follow. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. Whoever wants to lose their life for me will find it. I shared this in our Bible app Devo a little bit ago, but it's one of the best Yogi Berra statements I've ever heard. Like, isn't this it? Like, it sounds like it, right? Whoever wants to save their life will lose it. Whoever wants to lose their life will find it.
Huh?
Like, you have to think about it. Jesus is saying the harder we hang on control to this 80 years that is but a breath of our life, of our success, of our meaning, of our purpose, the worse it will be in the 80 million plus to come in eternity. Versus the more we let go of control of our life in this 80 years that is but a breath, the more satisfying, fulfilling. Just think about it. Like, I can't wait for the highlight reel when I get there. Y'all are going to be excited. It's going to be funny. It's going to be great. Don't worry. He's already got it queued up. I'm somewhere in the line. I don't know where. It'll be sometime after the welcome, I'm sure. But he'll have all my highlight reels of mess ups. But on the back end, I'll have those moments where it's just that moment where, like, I kept begging God for where we were going to meet, and I was at this terrible closing across the street, and he kept bringing me to this parking lot, and I said, "You're an idiot, Lord. Why are you bringing me here? I've been to this closing 3 times. The shortcut's here. I need my money, Jesus. You know what, dude? I done showed up 3 times. Somebody needs to cut me my check. I'm ready to go." It was pouring down rain. And I came into this parking lot, and he kept saying, "Why not here?" And I'm like, "Why not here what? Yeah, I got to go to the bathroom. Why not here? Yeah, let me go to the bathroom. Why not go to the bathroom here? Why not here?" They're not going to say, "Yes, Lord." I walk in here, and here we are, like less than a month later, we started being able to gather here. It makes sense. I wanted the shortcut. I didn't realize he was preparing me for something. So I was trying to hold on to it, trying to find the space and the place when I just had to be open-handed, and here it was. Right here. Verse 26, "What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul?" See, what's crazy now is science and psychology will tell you that there is a consciousness that we have. Go figure, psychology, duh, that's what it's saying. There is something outside. There is something that makes us think outside of the box that is this human skin. It sets us apart from animals. Animals are all instinct. That's why when we talk about people who are predators, or we say they're animals, they're instinct. They only operate on instinct and feeling. And guess what? We all did that because we're all narcissistic, selfish people when we're in sin. I'm telling you. And guess what? Even in Christ Jesus, we are, and he's melting that away as he forms us in his image, as Romans 8 says. So right there, what we are seeing when it comes to that is Jesus is saying, hey, there's something more than you could see. But now science and psychology is coming around to that to say there is. But here's the thing. Consciousness can't create matter. No matter how hard I think it, I can't create it. Now, yes, the way I think matters, but I can't create it. I can't be like, jumbo jet, and like it fall down. It'd be cool if it did, though, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that have been great? What if we had like a little tiny airplane fall down? Like, that'd have been great. Can't do that. But you know who can? The creator of the universe can. Billions of galaxies exist. He can speak and it's into existence. He can think and do that. Here's the thing. If we are wired in his image, why do you think he knits that inside of us to think outside of ourselves, to bring us to him, to draw us to him? Verse 27 and 28, Jesus gives a glimpse of what that looks like. "For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels. Then he will reward each person according to what they have done." So in other words, the life that you have that follows, if you say you're a Christian, you're going to have a life that follows that. Because there are a lot of Twitter Christians in the world. And I'm going to tell you what they comment, ain't it? Is it? It just ain't. So I know, hey, you may have fire insurance for eternity. But I'm going to tell you, our reward, I hope my reward's a banana pudding and macaroni and cheese because I miss it, Lord. You can make it happen. Verse 28, "Truly I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before the Son of Man is coming in his kingdom." So Jesus says, hey, when you follow the voice of God, not the voice of man, here's what it's going to look like. The life that you followed, the reward you missed out on this life, you're going to see in eternity. Once again, are you going to care about the reward of this 80 measly years that is but a breath? or the 80 plus million that is to come. I don't know about you, but my odds are if the stock market's up about 7% every year, and that's in this 80 years, imagine when it comes to following Jesus, where it's hundreds and thousands folds what we're going to be able to experience in his presence. So as we choose the voice of God or the voice of man, Jesus says we have to choose the way of the world or the way of the cross. See, the way of the world is the voice of man. You know this. If you've grown up in church, you know this. You've heard pastors say this. You know what's happening. You know that, hey, this is what he's going to say. So are you going to choose the way of the world or the way of the cross? Because the way of the world says, I tithe this month so I can be a jerk to my coworkers. Hey, I served at the soup kitchen, Jesus. I can be a jerk to everybody. Guilty. I know. I messed up. I'm sorry. I could do that to that person at the red light. Jesus loves you. Honk, honk. You know, like, I can't. No. The way of the world versus the way of the cross. If I'm a Christian and I have my staff and associate sponsored Ford rolling our truck in and out, I have to know I represent something. And on that camera, when the police officer sees me telling someone they're number one, Ruby's getting a phone call. That's what happens. They're going to say, ma'am, did someone steal your truck? Because they're out there telling everyone they're number one with a trailer. Jesus is saying, when it comes to that, though, isn't that what happens? Because in the moment, don't you just want to? Like, can't you see this big honking trailer behind me and your little Miata pulls in front of me? I'm going to win. Slow down. That's the way of man. It's the way of the world. Versus the way of the cross. Jesus says, hey, trust me, when you hit that brake pedal, that it's going to stop. It's the way of the cross, the voice of God. In that moment, maybe they had somewhere to be more than you. In that moment, do we follow the way? So that's a simple example, but think about that person that just drives you bat crazy. Do you choose the way of the world and the way of man in dealing with them or the way of the cross? The way of the cross will always involve suffering. And we don't like that. We spend our whole life neglecting pain. As a matter of fact, why do we neglect pain? Because we'll spend our whole life trying to not deal with death. I don't care who you are as a human, it is the number one thing you are afraid of and the number one thing you know bats a thousand when it comes to this body is death. Death. It's happening. I'm sorry. I know we don't want to believe it, but it's going to happen. But you see, when we follow the way of the world, that's all we'll focus on is trying to delay death, prevent death, stop death, when in the end, it's never in the cards for us to decide it. The way of the cross says, instead of worrying about death, I've already overcome death. Jesus has done that. He's already overcome death. So you ain't got nothing to be afraid of. Just trust me. There's nothing this... If death is already defeated, then it don't matter if somebody cuts me off at the red light, I can tap the brakes and know they have something to do. If death is already defeated, that person that drives me crazy, I can do my best to be Jesus to them, even if it's at arm's length. I can do that because he's defeated death. If death has been defeated, it doesn't matter what number's in my bank account, and I may not know how the ends meet, I know that he's going to find a way. If death has been defeated, I can be in the middle of a war zone and know that I can still be Jesus to those who he places in my path, no matter what. If death has been defeated, there's nothing this world can throw at me. No diagnosis, nothing. Does it make it hard? Yes. But does it mean that he's already overcome it? Yes, too. So which one do you choose? The one that is already guaranteeing death, or the one that's already defeated it and is going to give you life? That's what Jesus is saying. Which one do you choose? Because the way you live your life will show that. You can say it all day long, but the way you live your life will show it. So here's kind of what happens when it comes to the way of the world. The way of the world will always tell you how you should live your life in terms of family and money, sex, relationships. The way of the world is one way. And many times it's the shortcut way. It is. It just is. Because we want to get rich and we want to get rich fast. We want to do that. That's what we want to do. That is how we are wired. We want to be successful. And whatever society tells us, we will do that. The way of the world will tell you to look down deep inside yourself to find yourself. That your salvation lies within. And that's only half true. Because see, God has knitted inside of you a longing and yearning for him. So yeah, you can look inside of you and find salvation, but the salvation is only found in Jesus. Because when you look inside of you, you realize how empty you really are without him. See, the way of the cross is Jesus is telling us there's something more when it comes to the way of the cross. That everything in our life is influenced by the spiritual. There's something outside that is trying to stop us, as he said earlier, a stumbling block that Satan will do everything. From the garden, Satan has been trying to do everything to prevent us from being what we were fully meant to be. He went up to Adam and Eve in Genesis 3 and tried to do that. And so each and every one of us have to know that as we choose the way of man, we'll always choose the way of the world, which will always lead to death. And I know you hear me say it, and I know you've heard pastors say it, and I know you've probably said it in your own words and think, okay, I know that, but the question is, does your life follow listening to the voice of God through the way of the cross? Because here's what I want to tell you. When you're a follower of Jesus, you'll say, people love to tell you, you will sin no more. No, you're going to sin. You are. It's that your sins have been forgiven. But you see, the problem is when we do that, what happens is when we've sinned, we want to live in shame and guilt all the way through. And see, that's what Jesus has removed. Now, I'm not telling you, before this gets taken out of context, it is what it is. I don't care. It probably will be. It's fine. But I'm not telling you, hey, come to Jesus so you can sin all you want. Woo-hoo! Like, that's not what I'm saying. Sin has never been something that you did. It's always been something wrong you've believed. It's not the act of sin that is the sin. It's the act of not believing God is who he says he is. It's the wrong faith. See, in the garden, Adam and Eve didn't believe God is who he says he is, that all of the other trees were fine to eat from, but these few. So they said, well, I'm going to take it in my own hands. Who is this guy? He just comes to see me all the time. What is going on? And all of a sudden, they eat of that Satan says. They're like, holy crap, I'm naked. I got to do something about that. They didn't know better. So the sin in your life, even as you follow Jesus, that you are struggling with is because you don't believe Jesus is who he says he is in that. You don't have faith that he is working it out for his glory and for our good. If sex in your life is wrong, it's because you're not believing he's working it out for his glory and for our good. If money is not right in your life, you're not believing that it's all his and that he's working it out for his glory and for our good. If your job isn't what it's supposed to be, you're not believing him, and you will say, hey, I will sin and I will do all these things wrong, because you're not believing he's working it out for his glory and for our good. And I don't know about you, but I know I don't live a perfect life. So Jesus has already beat me in that. I know I definitely don't want to go be hung on a cross. He's already got me on that, paying the penalty for my sins. And I know I ain't rising from the dead on the third day unless it's a food coma. He's already done that. So if he's done that, can I not trust, as he has lived the life I haven't lived, died the death I deserve for my sins, and rose again? If he's done that, why do I think I know better? That's the wrong belief. That is sin in our life. So, where we are right now, we've got to follow Jesus by dying to self. That's what he means by picking up our cross, following the voice of God, not the voice of man, not the comfort, the easy way. And like I said, here's the thing that Jesus knew that we didn't. This is how he was fully God, fully man. The reason he had to tell Peter, get behind me, Satan, and he had to tell us to pick up our cross, is he knows our natural bend is the easiest way. How do we know that? We have a microwave. We have this terrible thing called Google, and we think that because we have information at our fingertips that we're smarter now than they were not too long ago. And I would tell you, I would venture to guess, I'm not a smart man, but I'm not a smart man, but I will venture to guess, two generations ago when they had that map on the dashboard, they probably knew a little bit more than I did. Like, if the car broke down, they wouldn't be like, you know, and the brake got stuck, they wouldn't be pulling the hood latch instead of the brake release. Been there, done that, okay? They wouldn't do that. They had an idea. So this is what I'm trying to get at. This is where I'm going with. I know I'm giving a lot of crazy things. But for real, the way of the cross is the way to life. And Jesus has already prepared that way. And the reason that we don't follow it is we try to get in comfort, we try to get in ease, we try to think that we deserve things and following the way of the world, because I've checked these boxes. And my friends, that's religion. And that's what Jesus came and defeated, is religion, because religion always led to death. Because we can never work, we can never earn, we can never do this. And so, the other thing that the cross does when I'm saying the way of the cross is Jesus knows that we are closer to him broken than we are when it's all going right. We don't want to admit that, but it's the truth. It is our nature. We lean into him more when we lose the job than the job that offers three times as more for half the work. And he's saying when you follow the way of the cross, you will learn and understand that you have to deny yourself and lean into me always. Instead of telling him to bless your work, ask him where he is working and join him in it. That's the way of the cross. So, for each and every one of us, as we are all going through these seasons, we may be in a season of cross. A cross in a job, a cross in a relationship, a cross in finances, just a season that feels like the cross. And it's hard. It's hard to lean in. It's hard, and we're trying to figure out what's happening in it, and we don't understand. We can celebrate knowing the resurrection's coming, but it's the middle of the cross. Hey, I will tell you, I will stand here and tell you, if you've ever had anxiety, you know what the 2 a.m. cloud feels like. Just the weight. Like, you're too anxious to sleep, but you're too tired to move. And I mean, that happens to me a lot of times when I'm stuck in anxiety. And I'm just like a drone, like just running around like the next day. Like, I'm not in my head. I can't figure. Grief does that to you. Relationships broken does that to you. Like, that 2 a.m. cloud, here's the thing I want to tell you. No matter how much you came to me and told me that I was set apart, I was fearfully and woefully made, that God had plans to prosper me, not to defeat me, or that you forgot that other part of Jeremiah 29 where he said, hey, you got to go through Babylonian gap. We won't open that. But wherever you are, where he's saying that, hey, you are set apart, you are chosen. Tyler, you're going to get through this. David defeated the Goliath. He defeated the giant. This is just a giant. You're going to go like... Actually, God defeated it, as Tim shared the other week. Like, you're going to have that defeat. You're going to beat this. You're going to get through this. I don't care how many times you told me this, and I will say that at times. I don't care how many times you told that. I'd never believe it. And that 2 a.m. cloud, never believe it. Never believe it. Couldn't do it. And that unbelief would lead, it can lead to sin. What it means is you sell yourself short, you sell others short. And so what ends up happening is how I get through those 2 a.m. dark clouds as I serve a Savior who knows what that feels like. Just read John 17. Hey, he had Satan say, here's the easy way out. And if you think Satan, and we don't know about this, this is what I can't wait. This isn't recorded because we don't know about it because the disciples were too busy being asleep, okay? Just remember that. They were too busy being asleep like we are a lot of times, asleep at the wheel. They were too asleep to know what was going on. If you think Satan didn't tempt Jesus more in the Garden of Gethsemane than he ever did in that desert, you're crazy. Because the moment to have the comfort and the ease of comfort was in that moment in the garden more than ever. Jesus prayed with anxiety. He was bleeding as he goes to the cross. He prays for us. He prays for God to be glorified. He said, Father, if this cup can pass, but your will be done. In other words, he was saying, hey, if this suffering can be gone, Father, if there's any other way, please let it. But if not, let your will be done. So the way I get through that 2 a.m., I know a Savior who's been there. And I get to say in those moments, Jesus, I'm so thankful you did this for me. Lead me through it. Lead me through it. Lead me through it. Instead of saying, I'm going to walk through it, and I'm going to be like a bull in a china shop, and you better bless me through it. Lead me through it. So as we come today, what you have somewhere around you is this little keychain. I know I do this just about every Easter. Thank you for hanging in here with me. I know we got some jokes and had some fun today, but it's just something to remind us to walk the way of the cross, because you see, we're always going to have to choose the way of the cross or the way of the world. And here's the thing. This is what it's going to remind you of, and this is where I wanted to really wrap up today. We know to fully experience Christ, we have to go through the cross to celebrate the resurrection, right? But here's the thing. Every week we give an invitation. We'll always give an invitation. Every week we give an invitation. So let me ask you a really great question here, I hope. How many of us have a favorite restaurant? Everyone, praise God's name. Even if it's Mom's Kitchen, everyone has a favorite restaurant or has a favorite food. Now, here's the thing. Before this madness, every year for my birthday, it was Side Street Pizza. If you know, you know, that was it. We'd tear up some Side Street Pizza, right? In my teenage years on, and as long as I was at home, we'd go to Side Street one of these days. Side Street. Now, here's the thing. I could tell you about how great Side Street is. I could tell you about what they got on the menu. I could tell you how awesome the pizza is. How fun the drive up is, how fun the drive back is, trying to make it back home to get to the bathroom, whatever that looks like. Like, I could tell you all of those things. I could tell you all of those things about Side Street. But you would never believe it until you went there. Right? Until you went there and you saw the menu and you ordered off the menu and you got it and you were like, hey, it may not be the best in the world, but it is pretty good. I like it. He did have something to that. The information didn't change, did it? Your experience did, though, didn't it? See, that's what following Jesus is about, and that's why we do what we do. I'm not here to give you information. The information hadn't changed. It hadn't changed from the foundation of the earth. Jesus is who he says he is, and he is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, and the end, and he will continue to be who he says he is. The difference is whether you choose to experience him or not. When we say the way of the cross, it's about the experience. The information about Jesus will not save you. It's you getting to experience him. The reason that someone who is in Christ can tell you about how he is faithful and tell you about how good he is because our experience with him. The world tries to fabricate that experience, and it is a shortcut. It is temporary, but they miss out the information because the information is changing, but the experience is what they miss out fully on. And they take this information, and just like Google in the world to come, we're actually become dumber. We're becoming dumber if we can, or more dumb because of Google, because we think we can get it at our fingertips. So the world is proving the information alone is useless. It's the experience. Doesn't mean that we don't have knowledge or someone shares it with us. It's the experience. So if you want to point someone to Jesus, share your experience with him. The way of the cross. Because the information ain't going to hit, but the experience will. So as we go into this moment, my question is, have you experienced him? Matthew 16, we've talked about here at the beginning, Jesus asked the disciples to answer the question that all of us will have to answer is, who do we say he is? Is he who he says he is? Or do we think we can save ourselves? Colossians 3, Paul is writing to the church here in verse 13 through 15. Paul says this, when you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive in Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us to condemn us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. In other words, the question is, do you believe Jesus is who he says he is? And what he did on the cross paid the penalty for our sins. And what he did on the cross finished the work we had to do. And he still loved us enough that he rose again on the third day so that we ain't got to wait for heaven on earth. We get to be it now. Do you believe that? And if the answer is no, this is your opportunity. This is your invitation. I can invite you to Side Street to have some good food, but even better, I would rather invite you to a Savior that knows the way and can give you life. And so with every head bowed and every eye closed right now, we pray every week for the benefit of those coming to faith for the first time. It's not the words of this prayer that saves you. It's not the information of this prayer that saves you. It's the faith that you believe Jesus is who he says he is. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, wherever you are right now, repeat this prayer out loud after me. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner, separated from you. I believe you came, lived the perfect sinless life I couldn't live, died the death I deserve on the cross for my sins, but loved me enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day so that I may have life. Come take over my life, Lord. Teach me to follow you step by step the rest of my life the best way I know how. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're in the house or you're watching online, wherever you are, I'm going to ask you to boldly respond on the count of three, if for the first time you've received this free gift of salvation, the first time you have gone in the way of the cross and trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. One, two, three. Would you raise your hand? If you're online, you may see a hand that's raised. Maybe you don't see a hand that's raised. You're just watching and there's a comment section. Would you shoot us a comment and let us know? You know, we just want to celebrate this decision with you, because as we shared today, following Jesus, receiving this free gift of salvation, is the starting block. It's not the end goal. And so we want to help you as you continue the way of the cross and this life he has called you to lead and live through him. And for the rest of us, you can go ahead and look up. We're about to have some worship time. Maybe you're in a season of the cross right now. Maybe you're coming out of a season of the cross. I don't know. Wherever you are right now, I hope today as we go through the way of the cross, you're reminded that there is another in the fire. There's another in the fire. Every time what Nebuchadnezzar goes and he says, keep throwing that wood on there, keep throwing it on there, keep making it hotter, there's no way that you can get through it. The world will keep saying, where's your God now? Where's your God now? What is he doing? What is he doing? And it's getting hotter and hotter and hotter, and the hairs aren't even singeing on your arm. And he's saying, walk through it. Trust me. So in your season of the cross, can we stand and worship and say, we trust you, Lord.
Another in the fire, standing next to me. He who was and still lives and will be through it all. Who made room and space between all the things unseen and its reckoning. I know I will never be alone. I know I will never be alone. There is another in the fire standing next to me. There is another in the waters holding back the sea. Should I ever need reminding, will you bend to me? I've got the joy of every battle, 'cause I know that's where you'll be. And I can see the light in the darkness as the darkness bows to end. I can hear the roar in the heavens as the space between where it's been. I can feel the ground shake beneath us as the prison walls cave in. Nothing stands between us. Nothing stands between me and another in the fire standing next to me. There'll be another in the water holding back the seas. And should I ever need reminding, how good you've been to me? I'll count the joy of every battle, 'cause I know that's where you'll be. I'll count the joy of every battle, 'cause I know that's where you'll be. I'll count the joy in every battle, 'cause I know that's where you'll be. I'll count the joy in every battle, 'cause I know that's where you'll be. I'll count the joy in every battle, 'cause I know that's where you'll be.
First service, so if you want to hang around for the third and fourth, for real, how thankful can we be that the tomb is empty, right? Like to the world, the world said there's no way that the tomb would be empty. The world said there's no way that he can come off the cross and rise again. The world said there's no way that I can be saved. The world says, hey, there's no way that you could ever, like, what's the point in any of it? And Jesus comes and shows us the way through it all. So as we go out throughout this week, we always share the way of the cross, but more importantly, not just get out the information, because the information was there all through the Old Testament, from the garden. It's the experience that we get to share. Have an awesome week. We can't wait to see your smiling face next week. If you don't come, we've got to eat like 5 biscuits each. So make plans to be here. So we'll look forward to seeing you. Have an awesome week. And always remember, the best is still yet to come.